morning, church. We're going to get started here with worship, so if you could get to your seats and stand and posture our hearts, get ready. So this morning during worship practice, I was struggling a bit to kind of grasp the songs that we were doing, and I felt very like off tempo and off beat, and I had to take a moment where I just kind of felt like I had failed. So I just asked God, like, what was going on and what he could teach me through this. And he told me that it's impossible for you to fail whenever you worship. So no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it looks like, you cannot fail whenever you're worshiping because you're in his presence and it's impossible. And so as long as you are giving your whole heart into what you're doing and you're not caring about the person next to you, whoever's looking at you, you're just focusing on the one person that truly matters, which is God. And so today I just encourage you to fully give your heart into the worship and into the service and just, yeah, love God.
Glory, the King above all kings. conquer the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And worthy is the King who conquered the grave. And worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy. All that you've done for me, which is everything. All that you've done for me, Jesus. All that you've done for me. Hey, all that you've done for me. Oh, so all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. That you've done for me, which is everything. You haven't stopped, but you haven't stopped. star. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus.
No.
son. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. My church ain't the south. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. Cause you got a lion.
Rescue me so I can stand and Titles that we get from our families, titles that we our friends give us, titles that we give ourselves. The most important title that we'll ever carry is son or daughter. Our identity as a son or daughter, that is where we must start. That needs to be our foundation of our faith, how we approach our Father, how we approach our Savior, recognizing that we are an heir to the throne, because He calls us son, He calls us daughter. And ladies, it's okay that we call you sons, because we have to be the bride of Christ, so we'll be okay. Just know when I'm saying He calls us son, I'm including all of us. So let's just stay in this place a little bit longer. And I just pray right now, anybody that's struggling, anybody who's struggled to call themselves son, to call themselves daughter, for whatever reason, your lens of a loving father has been tainted by the physical father that you may have had, or fathers in your lives, men, adults that were supposed to protect you that didn't. And I just pray right now that that would be broken off, and that the revelation of being a son, being a daughter, would just land in this place today. That this place would be filled with sons and daughters of a living King. Thank you, Lord. 'Cause you call us son, you call us daughter. We are an heir to the throne of a living King. 'Cause you call us son, yes, you call us daughter. And we are an heir to the throne of a living King. Yes, you call us sons. Yes, you call us daughter. We are an heir to the throne of a living King. Yes, you call us sons. You call us daughter. Yeah. You call us. so much for your sons and your daughters in this place today. I thank you, Jesus, that you have something specific, Lord, for every person that walked into this building today, God. I just pray, Lord, that throughout service, you would continue to reveal what that is. And I thank you, God, that we get the opportunity to come into this place and we get to minister and we get to worship your name, God. We get to rub shoulders with other sons and daughters, God. And I just pray today, Lord, that there would be a breakthrough in this place, Jesus, Lord, that people would not leave how they came in, God, that things would be laid down at your feet today, Jesus. And I thank you, Father, just for your love, God, the love that you pour out. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for this church, Lord God, for what you're doing in this place, for our pastors, God. Just pray, God, that you would continue to move today, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you are faithful to move in this place. Yeah. I just pray, Lord, for the remainder of service, God. I pray, Lord, for our fellowship. I pray, Lord, that we would put you first in front of everything, God. So I thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. Hey, you guys have some amazing people around you. Why don't you take a few moments, hug a neck, get some coffee, and we'll reconvene in a few minutes. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I love all these beautiful faces. You guys just make me so happy. Well, as you guys are getting settled, I'll just tell you about a few things that we have coming up. I got you.
Thank you.
Oh, declaration first. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Declarations. So, for those of you that don't know, we do declarations in the house, which is where we claim authority over things and we just declare them out there like, this is going to happen in faith. These are the things that we're speaking and contending for in our city and for our church. So, without further ado, if you guys want to stand with me, take your steadfast feet planted and follow me. I declare that our God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. Okay, so yes, like I said, I just want to tell you guys a couple things that are coming up. One being Easter service. That'll be April 9th, which is a Sunday. In case you didn't know, I forgot. Same time, 10:30. And if you can, bring family, bring friends. We'd love to just bless them and talk about our Jesus. And on that particular Sunday beforehand, if you want to show up a little early to have some fellowship, we'd love that. From 10 a.m. to 10:25, we're going to have a continental breakfast right here where the coffee is. Hallelujah! Who doesn't like a continental breakfast? Amen. Fill our tummies, fill our hearts with some fellowship and communion. Not communion, well, community. We might do communion later. Yeah, that sounds good. All right, then. So without further ado, we'll just... tithing. I'm so glad whoever's up there is keeping me on track, because I don't know why they keep giving me this mic, you guys. I don't understand. But anyway, giving, tithing is an amazing thing. What a privilege. What an honor where we get to tell our money where to go and have it do things for the Lord by giving to him so that he can bless those in need and use his church to do that. So if you feel led to give an offering, a tithe, you can either go to onelifefamilyworship.com, click give. It'll walk you through the steps. Or if you're old-fashioned like me, we have this little box to the left here. Your left, yeah. And you can put in your money in an envelope and stick it in there, and we'll get it where it needs to go. So, yeah. Pastor Eric. Lord.
Give it up for Nancy, you guys. Yes. I love my bride. Any joyful people in the house this morning? A few of us? Okay, good. That's good to hear. Pastor Mike and Gaylene are traveling. They're watching their granddaughter gymnastic. Is that what's happening? Yeah. And so they send their hellos. And they wanted me to thank everyone who came yesterday. We did a church work day, and it was glorious. Yeah, it was glorious. And so it's always nice when we get to do a little bit of spring cleaning and empty some spaces. And so, yeah, so just thank you guys for helping us do that, because those things are important, and we need to do that stuff. So I have a word that's on my heart. I will openly admit that I am not 100% confident in... I believe everything I'm saying, and I believe everything I'm saying is biblical and true. Also, as I looked at this word, I was like, man, God, do you want me to preach something else? Because as a communicator, it's not that I like, oh, you're a communicator, Eric. No, I don't. I preach to this congregation, anybody else who will listen, which is my family. But as somebody who prepares messages, There are these Sundays you get up and you get ready to do it, and you're like, yes, this is burning and stirring in my heart, God. I'm getting ready, you know, like, I can't wait to release this thing. And then there are other mornings where you're like, yeah, this is good. And so the Lord put this scripture on my heart this morning, which is not in my notes. And we're just going to pray and believe together that my iPad is not going to die, because as a dad of little kids, you buy iPads, but those iPads don't get used for what you initially got them for. They're used for YouTube Kids. And so this thing is at 15%. Praise the Lord. And I don't know how, because it was charged last night, but it's okay. So this is a scripture that God put on my heart. And just cast vision where we're going. We're going to be talking about the kingdom. And I don't have slides. So if you have your Bibles, or if you have your Bible apps, you can check to make sure I'm actually reading what the scripture says. But we're going to be talking about the kingdom. And the last few weeks, Pastor Mike's been talking about Matthew 6:33 and seek first the kingdom of God. And I think that we need to continue to having this conversation, because as believers, we need to understand that we live our life different. Like, we're called to live our life set apart. That's what the Bible calls us to be, set apart. Also, because we get to live this life in the kingdom, we have different things that are, we get to walk in. We get to walk in a different authority from heaven. We get to walk, we get to be co-heirs with Jesus in these things, and when we're going after things, and which requires some things too. It requires us to think different. It requires us to talk different. It requires us to walk different. It requires us to approach life in a different manner, because the challenges that I have are no different than the challenges than the lives out there have. The challenges that you have are no different than your next door neighbor, or the person you drive past on the street, or your coworker. The difference between us though and them is that we have Jesus. We get to walk in the kingdom. And so we have the opportunity, if we take it, to understand that our lives in the kingdom are going to, I don't want to say they're not going to be easier, because that's not even true, but they're going to look different than everybody else's. So let me read this. This is a scripture God laid on my heart this morning when I walked into the building. And this is in Romans. we'll start Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And I think we'll read through 17. And it says this, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We sang about that this morning, the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in great fear. Rather, the Spirit, if you received, brought about your adoption to sonship. Let's stop there. I will put a huge emphasis on anything I do in ministry, outside of ministry, a huge emphasis on the fact that I'm a son. Because
I recognize that if I see myself as a son, I will approach God in a whole nother way. If I can recognize first and foremost that God has adopted me as a son, I will then receive a father. Okay, so if I can first say, Eric, you're a son, it doesn't matter how good you preach. It doesn't matter how good you do worship. It doesn't matter how good you do anything. If you don't recognize, first that you're a son, then you'll be operating out of a different spirit. I'll be continuing to try to impress God and try to make sure he sees me and try to make sure that I'm checking all these boxes, when in the reality is that God is impressed with us way before we do anything impressive, because we're his sons and we're his daughters. So before he ever says, good job on that, you know, that thing that you did, good job on the life you lived, he's saying, good job, because you're my son. And I think that there are unfortunately, there are a lot of believers out there that don't know how to engage with a father, don't know how to engage in the kingdom of God as a son or as a daughter. And so they continue trying to do these things, and they continue trying to make sure that they're living in such a right way that just in case, you know, God came and looked at them. And that's important. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It is important that we live a set apart life. But first and foremost, it's about being a son or a daughter. And if we can start from there, because I'm not working for love, I'm working from love. All right. So, if you brought about your adoption and sonship. Okay. Continue on. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. We are heirs. That's an important word, that we get whatever we are heirs to God. All right. So the kingdom. Also, not to mention my iPad is like 7 years old, which in tech world is like 80 years old. All right. Let's reread. We're going to reread this verse that Pastor Mike has been going over the last few times he's preached, Matthew 6:33. And I want to make sure I read it verbatim. And it says this, Matthew 6:33, it says in the NIV, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. All right, come on, iPad, work with me. There it is. I love how it says it in the message. Started in verse 30. It says, "If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never ever even seen, don't you think He'll attend to you? Take pride in you. Do His best for you. What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax." And not be preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how He works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns well met. I love how it says steep yourself in God reality, because God reality is much different than our reality. Can I tell you guys a secret that the worries and stress in your life, God's not worried and stressed about them? like when we're stressed about finances, or we're stressed about family, or we're stressed about our health, or we're stressed about, you fill in the blank where your stresses are. God's not sitting up in heaven and saying, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about that sickness in their life? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do about that family, that restoration in that family that I need to do? Oh my gosh, what their bills are overdue. What am I going to do? God's not stressed about these things. When we get to live, we get to choose to live in a God reality. So the three things I want to say about the kingdom, and I'm just going to rattle them through and then we'll break them down, is this. The kingdom of God is freedom. The kingdom of God is clarity. And the kingdom of God is power. The kingdom of God is freedom. The kingdom of God is clarity. And the kingdom of God is power. So the kingdom of God is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When you act as an ambassador of God, or the kingdom of God, you walk in freedom. Freedom of bondage, freedom of past, freedom of sickness. When we walk in the kingdom, our lives look different. Things are going to look different in our lives. It doesn't mean everything's going to be, all sunshine and rainbows all the time. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Things are going to get hard. Things are going to get rough. I'll get to that. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. Kingdom of God is clarity. In John 9:39, this is the story following Jesus healing a blind man. It's when he made mud and he put it over his eyes. And he finishes this whole teaching with this. Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they can see that they are blind. When you pursue the kingdom of God, you begin to see things different. Kingdom of God is clarity. So Nancy and I, my wife and I, we work at the Union Gospel Mission. Okay, so we work with a demographic of people that are sick, that are mentally sick, that are addicted, and that are broken, and some of them aren't. Some of them just need help and they need a place to stay. Okay, but majority of the people that we minister to on a weekly basis are these things. And since I've worked there since October, now I begin to think different. I begin to think different, not only about that demographic. So now I just don't see, and this is just my experience, when I'm driving down the road and I see somebody, that's panhandling, or I see somebody that is obvious, you could tell is homeless, it's obvious you could tell has been on the streets for a long time, I no longer think like, oh, poor, woe is them, or oh, what an inconvenience, or oh, any of that thing. I more think, do I know that person? How can we help that person? What does that person need? Like, my mind goes there now. You know, the weather here has been a little bit unpredictable. When it snows outside, I mean, I already don't like the snow in the city, but that's a whole other topic. But when it snows outside, I no longer am like, oh, wow, cool. Like, snow day, we're going to go sledding, or we're going to, we're going to build snowmen. Like, that's part of it. But what I'm thinking about is, oh, my friends at the mission are sleeping outside right now. Like, when I wake up in the morning and there's a sheet of snow out in our yard, I'm like, oh my gosh, it got so cold it snowed. Meaning people that don't have a home are on the streets right now, covered in this stuff. And so in the same way, when we begin to walk our lives out in the kingdom, our minds begin to shift, our minds begin to change. We begin to look at life a little bit different. We begin to look at sickness different. Sickness doesn't become something that, becomes something that we're just okay with. You know, my family has gone through a bit of sickness the last few weeks, and it's just like, I said it a few weeks ago, like, sickness is from hell. Because when I come home and I have, this kid throwing up and this kid doing this and this kid sniffling this, I realize like, oh, there's something in here that needs to break. And I, because we live in wholeness, and because that I believe that when Jesus went to the cross, he took it all to the cross, our sin and our sickness and our infirmities and all these things, that last Sunday I went home, and after dealing with too much sickness in our home, and I just prayed through our home, and I went through and I grabbed some oil and I just anointed our house, because I was just like, no, like, I'm going to take authority. When you walk in the kingdom, you look at those things different. Okay, and I could have just been like, okay, like, we need to make sure the kids have their, whatever medicine they have, and make sure that all this is taken care of, which we did that stuff as well. But I wanted to make sure, because I know that as I walk in authority, as I walk in the kingdom of God, as I walk as a son, that I need to take authority over this thing that was coming into our home. So you begin to think different. And the kingdom of God is power. I have a buddy right now that is going through a lot. And him and I were talking recently. And he said this term that it really just struck me. Because when you begin walking in the kingdom, you see things different. And so you catch things. And he said, he was talking to me about all the trials of his life and things that are going on. And he goes, yeah, we're going to get through it. You know, God is good. And he says, I'm stumbling through life. And I called him on it. And I said, no, we as believers, we don't stumble through life. Like, that's actually not how kingdom people operate. We don't stumble through life. Like, no, we're victorious in life. And it doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean that there aren't things that happen. Like, there are real issues that happen in our lives, even as believers. But I am not okay with my friend who is a fellow believer, my friend who knows Jesus, who has known Jesus for a long time, who is leading his family along with Jesus, to just think that he's stumbling through life. That's not how a son or a daughter talk. They don't stumble through life. So me knowing kingdom, I know that's not kingdom talk. Because we can't forget, as people, we must be kingdom minded. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Bringing every thought captive. So that means that when we're thinking about our situation, when we're talking about our situation, when we're talking about our lives and thinking about our lives, we have to hold every thought captive. That means we have to not just let our words be flippant and let just whatever come out of our mouth. We have to actually take hold of that thing and say, hey, I'm going to watch how I talk about this situation. There might be somebody in your life that you're struggling with. There might be a family member or a friend or a coworker or a boss or whatever you're struggling with. I would encourage you, church, to hold every thought captive about that person, that situation, and begin speaking life over them. Oh, but you have no idea what they did. You have no idea what they said. They're an awful person. Yeah, I'll be the first to admit there's some awful people out there. However, because we're in the kingdom, we're called to then approach those situations different. How we approach those situations as sons and daughters, as Christians, as believers, as people who have said yes to Jesus, has to look different than those who don't know Jesus. It has to look different. Because we're the standard. We get to set the bar of what this looks like to live, to approach something. And like I read in earlier in the message in Matthew, the God reality. Is it easy? No. Is it popular? No. But I know our God is so good that if we were to approach those situations with a God mind, with God reality in mind, with kingdom in mind, then we could see those things shift. Years ago, I had I had a situation where there was just somebody in my life that every time I was just offended, just simply put, I was offended. I didn't know how to get past this offense. I didn't know anytime I thought about this person, anytime I thought about what they did or what they said, it would fire me up. And I was going through ministry school and you know, trying to get closer to Jesus and learn more about this kingdom stuff. And it was really, really, really hard. And for a while, I was allowing myself to be okay with it. I allowed myself, this is okay that you're thinking this because it your feeling right now has justification. There's validity to it because of the bad person that they are. But then it's funny what happens when you stop for a second and you allow Holy Spirit to speak to you about these things. Which is something else that kingdom people do. We stop and we ask Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? So I began to talk to God about it. And God challenged me to not only begin praying about or for this person, thanking the Lord for them, which I don't know if anybody's ever done this. Thanking the Lord for somebody you don't like is not easy. Thanking the Lord for somebody who has offended you is not easy. But kingdom people, that's what kingdom people do. And so I began thanking the Lord for them. And then God took it a step further and said, hey, I want you to begin giving that person words of affirmation. Begin texting that person things that you appreciate about them. And then the Lord took it a step further after I did that for a few weeks or however long it was. It says, oh, you know, that person's kid's birthday is coming up, which I had no relationship with this kid. I want you to send them a birthday card. Oh, their birthday is coming up. I want you to send them a gift. God, you realize I don't like this person, right? Like, I barely get gifts for people that I like. And you want me to give this person a gift, right? What began to happen, though, is my heart began to soft. And it, again, it doesn't take away the fact that I was wronged or I got offended. But what began to happen is I began to see them the way God sees them. This is what kingdom people do. We go counter to what anybody else would tell us to do. Oh, don't talk to them. They did that. Don't even talk to them anymore. Just write them off. Now, I get it. There are certain people that we need to write off. That's for another sermon. But for this situation, when we get to pray to God and we say, Holy Spirit, what should I do in this situation? One, it's important that we take that step to do that. Two, it's important that we listen. Asking Holy Spirit, asking God what to do is barely the first step. We have to then take the step and do something about it. It's not enough for us as believers to, oh, I know that there's an issue that I need to fix. I know that I need to pray more. I know I need to forgive that person. Knowing you need to do these things is barely the first step. Taking intentional steps to do those things, though, that's what then makes us different and set apart. And people get to look at our lives and say, wow, you did that? You went and forgave that person? You went and talked to that person again after what they did? You went above and beyond? Like, and it's not even about them knowing that I did that. But that's what it looks like to be kingdom-minded people. Kingdom is freedom. Kingdom of God is clarity. The kingdom of God is power. There's power in our words. There's power in our thoughts. There's power how we approach our lives. So I want to just pray for us today, and I want to pray specifically for those who you could feel like you relate to that story. You could feel, man, there are things that I need to be intentional with, because again, recognizing the things that you need to get better at, the things you need to level up at, is just the beginning. We need to move past that. I know I need to do this, and on to I'm doing this now. I'm taking intentional time. Tomorrow I'm going to get 1% better in this thing. And so I want to pray for you. If you feel like there's something that's stirring in your heart that you need to release to God, that you need God's help in, I just want to release that to you today. So God, I thank you for this house. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Jesus, just for the goodness that you are. And God, I just pray that for anyone in here that may be struggling, that may be needing you to move, Lord, in a mighty way in their lives. God, for anyone in this place that is needing you to come in and touch the situation that they're in, touch the offense that they're in, touch the freedom that they need, God, that you would begin to do so right now. Reveal to them right now heaven's strategy, Lord, in this place. Heaven's strategy in their situation, God. I thank you so much, Father, that you have the best solution, God. God, and that you call us to do something different. I thank you, Jesus, that you are in this place today. And I just pray, Lord, I pray that we would be aware, God. We'd be aware of what you have for us. We'd be aware of you. We'd be aware of your presence, God. We'd be aware of who you are in others. And we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Yeah, we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Is there anyone in the house that needs specific prayer? Would love to pray for you if you do need that. Mr. Bob? Joanne? Yeah? Yeah. Well, like Pastor says, there's no distance in the spirit. And so we're just going to pray right now. God, I thank you, Lord, for this friend of Bob's. And I just pray right now for strategy for Bob. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give him unique and the perfect strategy in this moment, God, that you'd put on his heart right now what it is for him to do, how he's supposed to get involved in this, God. And we pray for this friend of his, God. We pray, Lord, that you would touch his heart. Even right now, God, even though he may not be in a church building, he may not be fully engulfed in you, Lord, that you are fully engulfed in him, God. And we thank you, Jesus, that you still call him son and that you still love him and that you're still with him. And so we just pray for this situation. We pray peace over this situation. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're in the details, God. Yeah, you're not worried about this and that you have your son's best interests in mind. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Did you need prayer too? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Amen. All right. Why don't we? Can we? A few of us surround Joanne. We're gonna pray for her. You can sit. You don't have to do anything. Just sit there, okay? And we're gonna just lay hands on her. And we thank you, Lord, for your daughter. We just pray, Lord, for the strength over her body, God. We thank you, Jesus. There's no sickness that is greater than you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are bringing strength to her legs. You are bringing strength to her body. And we just ask right now, God, that we begin to see just improvement, God, that she would begin to be able to do more and more for herself, God. And yeah, we just pray as well that you would just comfort your daughter, God, that you the comforter would comfort your daughter. We thank you, Father. We thank you for how you're moving in her life, God. We pray blessings over this vessel, God. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're not done with her, that you have more years, Lord, for her, Lord, to be on this earth and to live a fruitful life, Lord, a life where she is more independent than she is now, God. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your daughter. Thank you, Jesus.
And we declare that all of our families will be saved.
Thank you.
In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, I love you guys. We'll see you guys next Sunday. And I don't think there's anything I need to remind. Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Have a great Sunday, you guys. We'll see you guys next week.